Good morning, Chelvest and Caldicott and Chelston Rise. It's Saturday, the 23rd of May, and this is Adrian Dale with the Daily Podcast. Firstly, I'd like to wish my dear mother-in-law, Inez, a happy 78th birthday. Now, she's going to marmalise me for revealing her age, but the way this lockdown is going, it could be weeks before we're allowed to see her again. And so, with luck, she'll have mellowed, or even better, completely forgotten, and I may even live to tell the tale again. Sadly, this is being repeated across the country every day as families are prevented from seeing their loved ones on special days. The wonders of technology do allow us to stay in touch, but it just isn't the same as making a fuss and giving someone a hug. I had high hopes that the next lockdown review would release us further, but I really can't see that happening now with the developments we're seeing daily. Apparently, over half of the under 30-year-olds are now flouting the rules and are ignoring social distancing. There will be consequences for us all, believe me. Now, yesterday we had a surprising technical challenge which prevented several people from getting the podcast at around 10:20. I was grass cutting and I'm afraid I didn't hear the pings of complaint in my ear until about 10:30. When I investigated, I found that the council had run out of bandwidth on its servers, but only 3 weeks into the month. There's been a surge in website demand this month. So many people have been downloading podcasts and photos that our monthly limits were exceeded. We did have a technical problem last month when a cyber attack took us off the air for nearly a day. I was able to sort out a temporary solution for everyone by 7:30, whilst Mark got our service provider to sort things out. However, as always, we learn from each issue. This time round, I was pre-authorised to contact the service provider directly myself and establish a solution. I was then able to call in Mark to pay the bill, and all was resolved in 1 hour 20 minutes at a cost of under £30. Mark had used his emergency discretionary powers to make the payment, but with the wonders of technology, the first of the retrospective authorisation from councillors came in within 10 minutes. Now that's how you manage a crisis. Clear communications protocols, clear lines of authority, but with discretionary powers at the right level to get things done quickly. Yesterday I was very critical of the government's handling of this crisis, and many people agreed with me. Some suggested that it might be political incompetence and that a different government might have done better. Sadly, I disagree. I don't think that any party could have done better. It's the system that's failed us. We elect an MP to represent our views in Parliament, and their only qualifications are that they aren't felons, and sometimes, frankly, even that fails, and that they think like the majority of the electorate that voted for them. Unfortunately, the vagaries of our system of government mean that some of these inexperienced and unqualified people then end up in office running big departments about which they know nothing. And even worse, one of them ends up running the country. How is that even remotely sensible? What are their collective qualifications or experiences in crisis management? Zilch, I'm afraid. Now, you'd hope that the permanent officials would guide them, but clearly something is going wrong. When I became a senior manager in Unilever, one of our first pieces of training was in crisis management and crisis communications. They brought in the Andrew Marr of the day, at huge expense, who interviewed us relentlessly on camera in front of our colleagues. We'd been given a briefing sheet just minutes before, and we had to study it quickly and be ready to answer on camera. He tore us to shreds until we learned the skills. The key was honesty and openness. If we didn't know something, we had to say so. But we had to explain what processes were in place to find out. We had to promise only that which we were certain of, and we had to ask for patience and support from those watching, and we had to promise to update people consistently and regularly. We had to explain the big picture with the aim of reassuring people that someone competent and compassionate was in charge. That training really worked, and it's never left me. I've also worked for many of the English police forces over the years, and became very familiar with their incident management system. It's based on a three-level command structure: Bronze Command, Silver Command, and Gold Command, each more senior and each more strategic. But this system is actually covered in basic training for every police constable. If a young PC is first on the scene of an incident, then they immediately become the initial Bronze Commander, trained to take stock, marshal resources, and alert more senior commanders in a very well-rehearsed process. If it is clear that the incident will become a major one, then a whole cascade of predefined processes kicked in. I've been part of several emergency service operations in the parish, and it's truly impressive to watch. For the big tyre fires, we had a mobile Silver Command post deployed a mile from the fire. It was important that the Silver Commanders from each service were not too close to the action. They needed to see the bigger picture. And then back at base was a Gold Commander responsible for dealing with the outside world and the overall running of the incident. We've used the same three-level principles in the management of the COVID-19 emergency in this parish. Why reinvent the wheel? There is a tried and trusted command process for running any emergency. So I think that's what's bothering me about the government response. I can see no evidence of this structure. No evidence of a Gold Commander standing back and saying, where are we going and why? Nor the Silver Commander saying, so exactly what do we need to get there? All I see is the most senior people apparently briefing us on the latest knee-jerk brainwave dreamt up in a back room by some boffin. Yesterday's bonkers idea was an immunity passport to allow people who've had the illness freedom to do anything. So who can see the loopholes and flaws in that then? Our plan for the village is to keep on plodding on, maintaining community spirit, checking everyone is still okay, and with communication lines in place that mean we can respond to any unexpected development very quickly. And so far, so good. Thank you.